Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is number 76 for Sunday, October 23rd, 2011. I am Mike and I am joined by Nick. It is smack dab in the middle of the holiday rush, and there are a lot of games coming out and a lot of games that we're playing. So, Nick, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
I had a weekend alone with my daughter as my wife went to a spa retreat with some friends. So that meant plenty of Kinect gaming with Once Upon a Monster. And it's pretty damn good, even from a perspective of someone that's not maybe a real little kid. There's a lot of entertaining things. I got a lot of chuckle out of some of the writing and stuff in it. I'm curious. I need to peek into the credits to see how involved Double Fine was with the writing of the game and how much was, you know, Sesame Street writers. I'm not sure. The game itself is, it's pretty fun, I guess. It's not so much learning as it is just the activities for kids to do. There's like some dancing stuff. I guess there's a little bit of counting. It's just a lot of like mimicking motions and picking stuff out and some color stuff and things like that.
Sure.
But it looks gorgeous. I mean, it's all 3D models and stuff. It's not like real video or anything like that. And the characters, you know, they really jump off the screen. And Izzy was having a lot of fun playing it. Though there's one mini game that's popped up twice so far where you have to flap your wings to fly. It goes on a little bit too long and your arms do get tired. And like, there's like bonuses as you play to that let you stop flapping and like gusts of air burst you up higher. And like the guys on the screen even say like, "Ooh, my arms are tired from all that flapping," kind of thing. So
interesting.
Yeah. You know, some of the activities I think go on a little bit too long. But the game does a great job of picking up people coming in and out for, like, the whole game is co-op.
Right.
But, like, you know, you have a kid. They don't stand still for more than, like, 5 seconds. So she was, you know, she's dancing around, running in and out of the Kinect view sensor and stuff, and it'll pick her up and drop her, and pick her up and drop her, and there's very little lag with, you know, having her join in and stuff. Even, like, when she would cross in front of me and switch spaces, the game would flip the, like, the little identifiers to show you which character you are.
Cool.
So, yeah, I was pretty happy with that, because that was kind of one of the things that really worried me about it, because, like I said, she doesn't sit still at all, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I would have the same results with my daughter.
So, it's still a little bit too, I won't say advanced for her, but I think some of the stuff in it, it's just a little bit past her yet. But I think if, you know, you have like a 3-year-old, 3.5-year-old, it's spot on something that they can even do by themselves. You know, how to show her some of the things.
Cool.
I blasted through Space Marine.
So what'd you think of it? Because I know Andrew was a big fan.
I'm disappointed. And actually, I think it's a very flawed game. You played the demo, right?
Yeah.
And you know how, like, the whole mechanic of gaining health from doing the finishing moves?
Yes.
Right? It's cool. The problem is there's specific areas where there's guys at a distance from you and there's nobody close to you, and you just, there's no way to gain any health. There's very little cover. You get stuck in the environment a lot. You just like, you try and like maneuver yourself just a little bit so you can get a shot off at a guy that's off in the distance shooting mortars at you and stuff. And then as you progress, some of the later levels, they just throw so many guys that have rockets and mortars and stuff in the distance. It just, I don't know, it really left a sour taste in my mouth. The last, like, 4 chapters of that game, I just wanted to be done with it. It was just frustrating for the sake of being frustrating.
Yeah, the problem, I liked what I played in the demo, but I guess the problem I had was that it seemed like you had to, it presented itself as kind of a hack and slash. But you had to think about when you were going to actually use your health regeneration kills,
right?
Because you could get killed in the middle of the animation.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem later on when it gets so crazy, and you're like, okay, I need to heal now, but there's 6 other guys around me and they're still hacking at me while I'm trying to heal myself. Like, I think if the health bonus would come in the beginning of the animation, it would be a lot better. But it waits until the very final blow of that animation to give you the health. And it just, it doesn't work, so. But I did beat that, and I'm ready for the co-op mode, which comes out this week. You know, multiplayer, that's not so much of an issue. I don't think it's gonna, you know, be too detrimental. I'll be curious if there's a revival mechanic in it, in co-op. They haven't really said.
Well, if it's anything like their Last Stand mode in Dawn of War, there'll be some way to revive people, but
yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. What else? I've been playing some Dungeon Defenders on XBLA, which is truly excellent.
Okay, good, because I have the iPhone version and it was unplayable.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is I said to Andrew, I had played with Andrew the other night for like an hour or so. I said, you know, this game finally feels playable on a console, but the interface is still pretty atrocious. Like, I guess Trendy just doesn't do well with interface design. There's just a lot going on. Though they do have one of the nicest things in terms of action RPGs that I've seen. That's real simple. You know how, like, you go to pick up an item and you're, like, sitting there and you're comparing the little stat windows?
Yeah.
Right? Well, they have that, but at the top of it, it just has a simple thumb up, thumb down, or, like, a sideways thumb to, like, know if it's better than what you have equipped or not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, that's pretty good. But yeah, it's a lot of fun in co-op, but by yourself, it's a little dull. But yeah, I'm enjoying that. And what else have I been playing? Oh, I picked up, what's it called?
Payday.
Payday, thank you. I had to look at on PC, actually. Playing the PC version of that.
Is it worth $20?
No. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it's tough to justify that $20 price on it.
Yeah.
I think there's 7 or 8 heists in it. The heists are pretty lengthy. They're kind of like multi-tiered kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely some really cool moments and some really things you wouldn't expect. Like the one heist actually is a breakout mission where you have to break out a guy that's being transported in an armored car.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you hook him up to a chair with a giant weather balloon on it and he gets picked up by a plane flying by. So that's kind of interesting. So it's not just bank jobs. Like there's another one where you're in like an apartment complex and you got to rob some diamonds from it. But it's, I don't know, the enemy AI isn't the best. And I don't know. I don't know how much replayability it really has. But yeah, $20 is a hard sell for that. It's a very good cross though between like Left 4 Dead and Kane and Lynch.
Interesting.
There's a lot of like unlockables and stuff too, like how you can customize your character and carry different equipment into the heist and stuff like that.
Do you get different clown masks?
No, the clown masks are actually like the character. Like there are characters in the quote unquote story of the game.
Hmm.
So
because that'd be pretty cool if you could get like a clown mask that's like +2 to accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be having a review of that pretty soon. Andrew's been playing the PSN version. I'm going to add my 2 cents to the PC version. It's not really that great looking on PC. I mean, it's not bad, but it's nothing super.
Well, it's a downloadable title. They're not always going to look great.
I'd be curious why they priced it at $20. It seems to me like when you looked at, what was the time? No, Section 8 from TimeGate Studios. You know, that was a $15 title, and that was pretty loaded for a downloadable game. Had a lot of, and it kind of feels similar to me in terms of, like, the content available.
Right.
But that's about it. That's what I've been playing. I did play a little bit of the Diablo 3 beta today after seeing all the BlizzCon coverage.
Yeah.
I had to.
Of course. I did, too. So, yeah, I played just a little bit of Diablo, and I just need that game to come out.
Damn you, Blizzard, for no release date.
I am seriously considering putting that Year of WoW on my WoW account so I could get a free copy of Diablo. And
but you want the collector's edition.
I do, but I also want the horse in my WoW.
Well, I thought the collector's one comes with it comes with some kind of WoW pet.
Yeah, but I think you get the horse now.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But anyway, Yeah, I'm probably going to get the collector's edition. I don't think I need to be playing WoW again. Although pandas. pandas and panda monks and yeah. panda brewmasters. It's awful compelling to someone like me because I really like pandas. Anyway, so I thought I was going to hold off on it, but I started playing Arkham Asylum on the PC because it was on the Steam sale for dirt cheap. Uh-huh. And I said, you know what? I love this game a whole lot, but I just want to play Arkham City. So I went out and picked that up today and started playing it. And, oh, God, it's so good. I love Batman. Yeah. It's like, before Arkham Asylum came out, I always felt like Assassin's Creed was the best Batman game. Because you are basically prowling the rooftops and taking out fools, like, you know, much in the manner that Batman would. And then Arkham Asylum came along and was excellent. And Arkham City is basically like Arkham Asylum, but kind of reaching back into the Assassin's Creed-style open world. And it's just... It's... Wow. I'm really impressed in that game with the maneuverability of Batman. Like, you're basically granted access to the open world, like, 5 minutes after you start it.
Uh-huh.
So you can, like, start swinging, or you can glide around the entire city and grapple, and you can grapple in the middle of... You can grapple in the middle of gliding, which is pretty sweet. So you can, like, shift directions in mid-flight. And it actually felt an awful lot like another game I've been playing on my list, which is Just Cause 2. You know, when you're parachuting and you use the grappling hook to, like, uh-huh. swing around and stuff? Like, controlling Batman when he's, like, gliding feels almost exactly like that.
Interesting.
So that was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to play more of that. But I also... I started playing Serious Sam The Random Encounter, which is like a pseudo JRPG Serious Sam game on the PC. And it's an interesting concept, and it's pretty fun. Like, you'll run around and there's these little levels, and you walk around and you'll get thrown into a random encounter. And basically, every 5 seconds, you choose what attack you want to use for that 5 seconds, and uh-huh. you pick a direction to aim, and Sam will start firing in that direction with that weapon for, you know, 5 seconds or so. But you have full control over his, like, movement, so you'll be doing, like, bullet hell dodging.
Interesting.
While the 5 seconds play out, and eventually you get other Sams to add to your party, so each one can use different weapons. At the same time. And so you'll, like, lay down covering fire for the guy who has the, you know, rocket launcher who only fires once a turn. And, it's cute. It's pretty funny. And, I like it a lot. So I'll definitely play more of that. And, I also picked up what's probably my favorite iOS game to date, which is, Mage Gauntlet. You may have seen some buzz about it recently, but it's basically like someone said, I really like Secret of Mana and I want an iOS version of it that isn't the crappy version that Square put out. And so it's like basically a Zelda-esque action RPG, and all of the touch stuff is really intuitive. Like, it doesn't bother with virtual joysticks. Like, you basically put your thumb on the screen and slide in any direction, and that's where you'll start walking. And uh-huh. It works as a gamepad. Like, it works in the same way like a virtual joystick would, but it doesn't suck. If you've played a lot of games on the iPhone or iPad that use like a virtual D-pad, you'll know what yeah. I'm talking about when that's really terrible. This works really well. And whenever there's a really big button to push, that's like most of the right side of the screen for when you want to swing your sword. And then when you cast magic, you just tap the magic area and it brings up a menu and pauses the game. So you select what you want, and then target who you want. And so basically it kind of goes turn-based when you do that. But it's really fun. It's really fast, responsive, and it's got a good sense of humor. So if nice. You have an iOS device, I recommend checking that out. Like I said, I played a bit of Just Cause 2 because I, you know, played Renegade Ops and I wanted to blow more stuff up. And I was really, I guess, morbidly curious about the 360 port of Crysis that they put on Games on Demand for, you know, cheap. And I always felt that that game would, because of the way it was set up, I always figured it would work a little bit better. Like, not as a shooter on a gamepad, but as kind of, like, using the abilities.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, you had to, like, click the middle mouse button and, like, swing around a little wheel to pick your powers.
Yeah, it was always a little clunky.
Yeah, so the interface was a little weird. So the trade-off is I'm playing this a lot differently than I did on the PC. On the PC, I played it primarily as a run-and-gun shooter. And, you know, it was pretty good that way. And on the console, I'm playing it more, like, I'm experimenting a lot more with the powers. So it feels a bit like a different game. And they ported it up to the CryEngine 3, the one that Crysis 2 uses.
Right.
So it feels about like 60 frames, maybe a little short of it, but it's definitely, you know, pretty smooth. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, the, obviously the textures and everything aren't up to what the PC could do, but, you know, back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's solid, and, I like it. And, finally I played, Sideway New York for review, and, I felt it's kind of a platformer in the spirit of something like a Jet Grind Radio meets Fez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're like, your premise is that you are this dude who gets turned into graffiti on the side of a building, and you can wander around the sides of buildings and use like pipes and other graffiti tags as platforms. And it's pretty cool concept, slightly flawed execution, but it had like the absolute worst co-op I've played in the least a couple years. Because their camera system is super wonky, they make it so that if you flip perspectives, the other player jumps along, like they warp them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, two players can be in the middle of doing things. Like, I get to the end of the platform, and even though player two is in the middle of getting there, it will just determine that they need to be warped to me. And we also figured out that if player two just sets their controller down and never touches it, player one can drag them entirely through the level and still win. So it just, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to do co-op, make it interesting.
Yeah.
Make there a reason to have co-op in this. Cause platformers, you know, unless I'm helping someone else get through the level, a co-op platformer doesn't really appeal to me. Cause then at that point, it's just two people running through a level. And, this one, since it's so, like, it wants to leash you so close to the other player, it's like they might as well not even be there. So yeah, I was pretty disappointed in the co-op, but if you're up for a cool little stylish platformer, you could do far worse. So anyway, let's move on and talk about this week's news. And, it looks like, this first story is just funny to me, and you can tell everybody about it because I'm just taken aback.
So, yeah, but basically the 360 version of Battlefield 3, there's the second disc, which also has the multiplayer on it.
Uh-huh.
Also has a installation which installs high-res textures for the game. This is just the Xbox 360 version.
Right.
I'm assuming the PS3 version is just going to have a forced install since it's a standard hard disk. Anyway, the quote from the Battlefield producer is that the 360 version looks standard definition when you don't use the high resolution textures. So, you know, fanboys and everything else alike, it is what it is.
Yeah,
lots of noise going on.
Strange. And it's kind of a strange choice.
It's kind of funny, though, because I had just sent you right before this this call the new TV trailer for Battlefield 3.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done is, it's obvious that they're using the PC version.
But of course.
They've blended real-world, like, modern warfare action with scenes from the game. Carefully chosen scenes from the game, I may add.
Yes.
And it is very difficult to tell which is the real one and which is the gameplay. Like, there's a couple gameplay scenes in there where you definitely have to, look at a few key elements in it to say, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's a game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's on the surface, it appears to be one of the prettiest looking games in a long time. But console players in this case, I think they're starting to be, you know, there's always that, ebb and flow of consoles and PCs where a console comes out and is actually ahead of PCs in terms of graphical capabilities and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And I, you know, I think it's been a couple of years since we passed that point. But I think now consoles are actually starting to show their age relative to what a PC can do. So, yeah. And this is, I mean, Battlefield is a PC franchise. It always is. DICE has always been a PC developer. So it's not really shocking. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some other news. Talk about Space Marine. We talked about that earlier in the show. I mentioned how I wrapped that up. And the co-op mode is finally coming out. It's about 2 months after the game's release. So I don't know if it's too little too late in that case, maybe. Since now it's, you know, we're buried in the fall gaming season.
Yeah.
I'm curious, actually, while we're here, I want to look up what... Why don't you look it up for me, what the Amazon price of it is. I'm curious if it's still going for full price or if you can get it cheaper. But yeah, the co-op mode is out Tuesday, and we learned that it's actually, while it's two missions, each mission has four arenas in it, so there's going to be 8 co-op maps, and they promise that each arena is going to have their own unique little thing to kind of make it different than the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
Each arena is 20 waves, and it's 4-player co-op. You can bring in your customized Space Marine for the multiplayer. Your unlocks and stuff carry over and carry back into the Versus and stuff like that. So, I mean, it looks pretty meaty. It's free if you purchase the game new.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm curious if it's too little too late, maybe.
So it's $53 on 360 and $50 on PS3 on Amazon right now.
Okay, so essentially full price.
Yeah. But I can get it by Tuesday if I order it in the next 18 hours and choose one day shipping.
So yeah, it's you know, I'm looking forward to actually playing it in co-op because, like I said, I just came off of finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the gameplay's still kind of fresh in my mind, but 2 months after release is quite a while to wait. I think originally everyone kind of thought it was going to be a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think we thought it was going to be like early October.
I think that was the original plan. That was what they had told us, but I guess it just kept getting pushed and pushed, so. And it's actually, they also said, I believe in the press release, that it's the first piece of DLC, so there's more planned. I'm guessing they're going to be versus oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect 3, there's going to be a co-op demo for it.
Isn't co-op new since we last
recorded? That's what I was just going to say. I don't know if we actually Mass Effect 3 has co-op, finally confirmed, you know, the worst kept secret in that franchise's history or in recent gaming history.
Yeah.
But they finally confirmed it. 4-player online co-op. It's separate missions that parallel the campaign and actually affect the campaign if you choose to play them. And that it sounds like they're doing this thing where... remember Mass Effect 2, how you had optional side quests to do for your people?
And yeah, the loyalty missions.
Right, the loyalty missions. And if you did those, it affected how the outcome was in the final mission. The same is true for Mass Effect 3 in that there's this thing that affects how well you do later on in the game. And there's going to be a bunch of things that apparently contribute to this. And one of those is the co-op missions. It sounds like there might be some social stuff with, like, Facebook and something else. And obviously, there's going to be some stuff in the campaign as well that affects how prepared you are for the final battle. That's kind of what they're alluding to there. But yeah, so there's a whole bunch of classes you can choose from and customize your character. There's persistent leveling. There's RPG unlocks and stuff like that. Like, I got to play it. I'm still under NDA from talking about it until Thursday of this week, so technically I can't talk about it yet on this But I did get to play it, and it is really cool. It is Mass Effect. You know, no surprises with how it handles.
Right.
Look for that preview Thursday on the site. But yeah, Mass Effect 3. I still, after Uncharted 3, that is my my next most anticipated game, for sure.
Definitely.
Another 3. Gears of War 3.
Oh, jeez.
It's the year of threes. The game's getting a second DLC pack, and it is a campaign pack, actually, this time. No versus maps or horde mode maps. It is called Ram Shadow, and it's a prequel, actually, to Gears of War 3. And it follows Zeta Company, I believe, was the group. So it's not going to be Marcus or Dom, those guys. I think it's Sam and those people, which you see a little bit of.
Interesting.
And then, but there's also playable. There's you play as locusts through part of it as well. They kind of mentioned, so that'll be interesting too. And they're claiming 3 hours of content with that.
It's not bad.
And that's
it's like a third the size of the campaign.
Right. So, well, it's like Andrew said, that they could mean 45 minutes of actual content on 3 difficulty levels or 4 difficulty levels.
That's true. It could mean that.
So
maybe it'll finally answer the one pressing question I had about Gears the entire way through it that did not get answered in 3.
What's that?
Well, it'd be spoilers, so we can talk about that later.
Okay.
There are some things in Gears 3 that do not get answered that I was not happy that they didn't get answered.
Okay. And I believe that is out in December. Hold on, looking it up quick. That is out, December 13th for $15.
Yeah.
So, good stuff there. If you have the season pass, that's included in it. So, bad news on the Transformers front. A new Transformers game was announced about a month or so ago called Fall of Cybertron. It's going to be a sequel to
War for Cybertron.
But it's not going to have co-op campaign, which was the central focus of the first game. First game was a 3-player co-op game. Mm-hmm. But they decided to drop it and focus on single player. It will have co-op missions, like the horde mode survival style ones that the first one had. I forget what they call it. They had some...
It's like Extraction or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. But you won't be having a campaign there, so I know a lot of people were bummed about that.
I was really disappointed with their... especially because I never played it, but I saw what a lot of people said about it, and then I read the standard...
Yeah...
excuse for not putting a co-op campaign in it.
Well, what's kind of funny is they use both excuses. We've heard they use the it's going to change the story and the feel of the game, and the it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So they used them both. So I guess there's really no chance of it. There was no chance of that happening. But yeah. It's definitely disappointing. Like I said, we had a lot of people that were like, well, this is now a rental or a buy when it's cheap game.
Yeah.
So that's what happens to developers. Kind of
game, it's definitely the kind of game that I would really not be happy that there was no co-op in, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's Transformers, man. You gotta, relive your childhood with your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I played through the first one, the whole thing co-op, and I really enjoyed it. I played a bit with it, even my... I was playing my nephew, I think, in co-op with that one, too. So, Iron Brigade, which was once called Trenched, which is now officially Iron Brigade everywhere, it's getting some DLC. And it's called... hold on, I got to pull it up so I say it correctly, because it's pretty cool. It's called Rise of the Martian Bear.
It's got
space bears.
It does have space bears. The villain from the original is now a bear.
That's pretty awesome.
And the bear has a beard. The bear has a beard. That is insane and awesome.
But that is going to be out later this year, and there's no details on price of that. But lots of new content. Trench was a lot of fun. I mean, Iron Brigade was a lot of fun.
Trench was a lot of fun. Iron Brigade, I haven't played yet.
Well done. I'm curious. I wonder if the... I had looked on Xbox's website for... to see if they updated, like, box art and stuff on there, and they haven't yet. I'm curious if the title update went live that changed everything in the game, too.
I think it's... if it hasn't, it should be imminent.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got going on. Oh, the PlayStation Vita. It has a release date in the United States, and that release date is February 22nd. And that'll cost you $249.99 for the Wi-Fi version and $299.99 for the 3G version. They're saying there's going to be a good number of games at launch, and that there's supposedly like 100 titles in development. We have actually quite a few games already in the database for this with Promise Co-op. More than the 3DS, which has been out a year now or whatever. What's it been out? 9 months? 3DS?
Came out, I think it came out in March, yeah. So March. About
a little bit less. But yeah, we've got it's like 7 or 8 Vita titles, and in terms of the 3DS we have, pulling it up now, we have a slow website. We have five. We have 5 3DS titles, so yeah. And 2 of those are coming soon.
That's pretty
so,
sad.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because my 3DS sits right next to where my laptop sits, and I was moving some plugs around, and I was like, I should just unplug this and not even buy it right now. It just sits here eating up power for no reason. But yeah, so that's the day after my birthday, if anybody wants to get me a Vita. I don't know why I want it, but I do.
It's shiny.
It is shiny. Yeah, I mean, my PSP Go, I might play it once a month.
But there's an Uncharted game coming out.
I know. That's kind of the only reason I want a Vita at this point.
I want it because they're porting Persona 4 to it, but I'm a masochist.
There's the Uncharted game, which we don't think has any kind of multiplayer. But there's the game Ruin, which looks pretty slick, which mm-hmm. is an action RPG that's going to be on PSN as well, and it utilizes like cloud save, so you can like play on the Vita, save it, pick it up, and play it on your PlayStation 3, you know, vice versa. So it's like the same character for you, so to speak. So that's pretty cool, and that's supposed to have co-op. There's that Dungeon Hunter Alliance game, which was out on PSN, another mm-hmm. action RPG. And a few other ones coming out that are supposed to have co-op. There's a little Big Planet game and some other stuff. So it looks like a solid little system. The screen on it is so gorgeous. I got to play the FIFA game on it at an EA event recently.
Yeah.
And it looks almost as good as a console. And but the screen is just really, really pretty.
Yeah, the screens in the latest cell phones and such are really beautiful. So
yeah, surprised. Samsung. Oh, go ahead.
They stuck one of those like super high density displays in it, didn't they?
I think so. It's like, yeah,
800x480 or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a. I have like the super AMOLED screen on the phone I have, and it's really, really pretty. I don't know if that's what it's using or what, but yeah, it's one of those things. You look at it and you just like you can't look away. You're like, why does that look so good?
Yeah,
where does those good images come from? So yeah, that's that. What else we got? One last bit of news. Kinect details were revealed for Halo Anniversary. You can yell reload and Master Chief will reload. You can yell grenade and Master Chief will throw a grenade.
I hopefully that is the death knell of the Kinect.
There's just no point in putting, like, why even
why?
Waste?
Why would you do that?
There's just no point.
I also like the Forza 4, you know, like, you can use Kinect to look around the car, and I could use the right stick on my controller to do the same thing.
Well, I mean, head tracking's kind of cool. Like,
right.
I get that, and that's a subtle way to integrate it, but, like, yelling those things to do it?
Yeah.
Now, the one thing it does have that they haven't explained fully was they said that there's basically be like a scanning feature and adding stuff to like a virtual library in the game, which could be kind of cool if like you hold up like a Master Chief figure and it. I don't know how it works.
I don't know if it's like that. It sounded more like it was the scanning that's in like Metroid Prime games, right? Where you like scan the environment.
Oh, maybe.
And then it adds it to like a database you can look at later or something.
I had thought it was like actually using the Kinect to scan objects in.
No, at that point, people are just playing Skylanders now, you know?
Yeah. It kind of brings up, why isn't the Kinect used more for like QR codes and stuff like that? Like for games. Like, I mean, you got it there. Why can't you just hold the damn code up to the thing and unlock your whatever?
Didn't Viva Pinata have a QR code thing?
It did, with the old
live vision camera?
Yeah, it did. You would think, though, with how quote unquote widespread the Kinect is now that.
Yeah, but who bought the Kinect? Like, who actually bought the Kinect?
Apparently a lot of people.
Well, not number, but like what audience bought the Kinect? Same audience that bought the Wii.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people who don't traditionally, you know, like, yeah, they're a bunch of early adopters and stuff, but most, you know, savvy gamers said, show me the games for that and waited. And you got a lot of people saying, impressed by the voodoo of the technology that bought, like, an Xbox Kinect bundle, you know, last Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, most people I know that own a Kinect are not like you and I.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still waiting for them to do something really mind blowing with it. Every now and then, there's flashes of brilliance.
Does Project Draco interest you at all?
The new Double Fine game interests me. The one that's like a mini game collection. The party game that's basically based on the Kinect not working properly.
Yeah.
That seems particularly fun. Well, yeah, so that's the news, and well, we got a quick voicemail question this week. Nick, do you remember who it was from?
He gave his name. I think he said his name is Brian. He didn't give a last name or anything like that.
If his name's not Brian, I apologize.
But yeah, he had called in and he was asking about a game called Captain Blood. And what happened to it, if he had heard anything. I had did some research for him. It's a 1C published title. It was announced back in like 2008 or 2009. Last news I'd seen of it really was like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I have never received anything from 1C. I get PR stuff from them all the time. I haven't received anything from them concerning the game. Certainly not in the past 2 years. So it might be DOA at this point.
Never know.
One more search here in another email thing.
It could always resurface.
Yeah, so actually the last email I got about it was in... Nope, never mind. Wasn't even then. So yeah, I've never received anything from them officially talking about the game.
Wow.
That's back until like 2006.
So what happened to Captain Blood? Well, Dead Island actually came out, and that went dark for a really long time. So, you know, you could, you know, hope and pray that it comes out, but at this point, you're probably best off not holding your breath. Do you agree, Nick?
I agree.
Okay. And for a user blog highlight this week, we have a good kind of... sassy research post about the Seriously 3.0 achievement in Gears of War 3 from Wildcard Zen. If you don't know what it is the achievement for getting it's 100 gamer score achievement. It requires you hitting rank 100, so the top rank, and unlocking all 65 Onyx medals. And that doesn't seem so bad. You know, it's just a grind. And then you realize, you know, one of the Onyx medals is for playing 1,000 matches using a female character. Or, you know, revenge executing someone 500 times. And, you know, a revenge execution is when someone kills you 5 times in a row and you haven't killed them back. So you have to let someone kill you 5 times and then go kill them. and it has to be an execution. You can't just kill them. So it's quite a lot of work, and discounting the one achievement that's entirely dependent on Epic putting out multiplayer events, it takes at the bare minimum 22 days of playtime.
Nonstop.
To get 100 gamer score. Conversely, you could pay $5, get a used copy of that Avatar The Last Airbender game, and get 1,000 gamer score in approximately 5 minutes. However, I'm sure eventually someone will have this achievement. But it was pretty amusing. I liked the research that went into it. There's some simple math involved. And a lot of people responded to the blog and said, OMG, that's screwed up. So what do you, since we don't have like a super huge topic to talk about this week, what do you think about achievements like that being put into games?
I think it's cool from the perspective of making it like a 0.1.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the games that make it obtainable or possible to get 1,000 out of 1,000 without like having to do anything well above and beyond.
Yeah.
And I always thought the best use of achievements are kind of guiding people towards alternate paths within games.
Like Crackdown.
Yeah. Like they kind of like, it's not like holding your hand, but it's like, look, you can do this and this is really cool and we'll give you an achievement if you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Crackdown had like the car juggling thing and stuff like that. It's things that like you would find if you were just screwing around or, mm-hmm. or kind of, you know, wasting your time, but this kind of gives you a little bit of guidance with it. Like that's what I like the achievements for. Not the, you got 10,000 kills in this game kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think my favorite achievement of all time is one of the random ones you can get in Borderlands. If you kill an enemy by jumping on them.
Oh, right. I remember that one.
Yeah. If you kill an enemy by jumping on its head, it gives you an achievement called It's a Me.
That's funny.
And yeah, it was pretty damn funny when I got that. Because I got that one completely by accident.
Uh-huh.
And that same achievement was actually in Mirror's Edge, of all games.
Interesting.
Yeah, you could like jump on a dude's head and knock him out, and it would give you an achievement for it. But yeah, like every now and then there'll be like some crazy achievement for doing everything in a game, or like, you know, like Red Dead, where you could 100% the game for an achievement, and you know, that's a significant amount of gameplay that has to go into that, but you know, it is doable in like a week.
Right.
If you play like a solid week, you could do it. So stretched over a couple months, not so impossible. But something like this, and the fact that the war supporter part of it is so dependent on Epic.
Yeah.
Because you never know how many events they're going to do. Because they could decide that they're not doing events for a while. They could decide that they do five events in one day. And it's pretty arbitrary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's cool that it exists. It's, you know, it'll certainly give people something to work for. But to lock 100 of the gamer score away for something like that is kind of crazy. So it's like, you know, most of your achievement hunters will hit 900 and then not bother. Anyway, let's start wrapping things up here and talk a bit about site stuff. We've got some upcoming co-op releases. And I completely didn't fill this section out.
There's a lot
in our show notes, so let's go to the calendar.
Yes, we do have a release date calendar on the site.
We do. It's under
the games section.
The games section, yes. There's a release dates calendar marked handily. And let's see, today is the 23rd, so is this date correct? Kirby's Return to Dreamland?
Yeah.
So tomorrow, Kirby's Return to Dream Land for the Wii.
It might actually be out today.
Yeah.
It's a Nintendo release.
I suspect it's out today. But Battlefield 3 is out for 360, PS3, and PS3 on Tuesday, the 25th. As is The Cursed Crusade. The, that Centipede game. Centipede Infestation's out on the Wii and 3DS. Dance Central 2 is out for 360, and Disney Universe is going to be out for 360, PS3, Wii, and PC. as well as House of the Dead Overkill, the extended cut. It's the PS3 version with move support. And on Wednesday, there is a Xbox Live Arcade title called Zombie Apocalypse, Never Die Alone.
And I wouldn't trust the next year. Let's see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of those are defaults. I can tell you, Lord of the Rings War in the North, PS3, 360, and PC on November 1st. The Zombie Apocalypse, Never Die Alone on PSN on November 1st. Pixel Chung Side Scroller, actually it was November 1st, but they just bumped it up to October 25th.
Okay.
So there's that one. And I think that's probably it from that list.
Yeah.
I need to... November 1st used to be like my default... like
your default fall date?
Yeah. So we'll have to adjust some of that.
Yeah. So yeah, we had a... After last episode, we only had one review, but since then, we've had plenty. There are reviews posted for Dance Central 2, White Knight Chronicles 2, Sideway New York, Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, Guardian Heroes HD, F1 2011, Ace Combat Assault Horizon, and Dark Souls. And we also had our Beyond Co-op reviews for October. That included FIFA 12, Hard Reset, the Eco and Shadow of the Colossus Collection, Resident Evil 4 HD, Resident Evil Code Veronica HD, and Rochard for PSN. We had an editorial of Co-op Classics about the real Ghostbusters. Jim wrote up a Battlefield report for Battlefield 3. And Jason had another Indiana co-op about Ninja War, Stolen Scrolls, and Dysnomia. I don't think we posted any facts recently, but we should probably have a few coming up soon.
Yeah, I think we're planning one for, I know, Modern Warfare 3.
Mm-hmm.
And
Uncharted, maybe?
Maybe Uncharted would be a good one, because there's a couple co-op modes in that.
Yeah.
And... yeah. I think that's it in the next couple of weeks, anyway.
Okay. So, yeah. Look forward to those. And to wrap things up, you should check out our WinPhone 7 and Android apps. And we have an iOS app coming imminently, I am informed.
Yeah, actually, I need to get an update on that. I think it's going to be pretty soon, though.
Yeah. You can buy some shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store. Are we out of the Co-op Revolution one yet?
As far as I know, we still have a few, but we might be size limited at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
We are out of medium and large, so we gotcha. Have XL and double XL.
So we are fully in the shame tarp range of shirts if you want those. You can leave feedback for us on iTunes or follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus without the dash. And you can also leave us a voicemail. The number is 646-926-6748. And this has been the Co-Opticast. I'm Mike. That's Nick. And we will see you in 2 weeks.